Hello, everybody, and welcome to the latest episode of the Rocker Dog Podcast, the show that talks to musicians about their dogs and the value these creatures bring to their lives. I'm your host, Tim Dill, dog dad to Charlie and shelter volunteer, and today we welcome to the show Tony Palermo, drummer for Papa Roach, who will be donating a portion of their royalties for their latest single, Leave a Light On, Talk Away the Dark, to the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. Tony and Papa Roach just capped off a busy 2023 of touring, and these are his stubborn and laser-focused rocker dogs.
All right, well, my rocker dogs are Luna and Jasper. Jasper's my chocolate lab, and Luna is our rescue, and she's a Border Collie Australian Shepherd mix.
Okay.
So she's got a lot of energy.
I was going to say, I learned a lot from this podcast, and that's one of the things is those Shepherd mix have, they need to be stimulated both mentally and physically.
Yeah, she leads the walks. I know that's probably wrong in dog training, but she's always like on the lookout for whatever.
And are they, how old are they? Is Luna 5 and Jasper 6? Is that
I think so. Right? Yeah, we think she's about 5 or 6. Jasper's 6. And she's probably 6 as well.
And did you bring the two in at the same time? Or what was the context of getting the two at the time that you got them?
Right. So we got Jasper from a breeder that we previously used. We had a chocolate lab named Lucy who passed after, I think she was 12. And then it was just so soon, though, and the breeder called and said, we have another puppy. And we're just like, oh, man. Okay. So we got Jasper, I think it was like October. And then the next year in January, we picked up Luna. We rescued her because the family had to move and they couldn't bring her with them. So, and yeah, they used to, we have some video and old pictures of them like sleeping together. Now they're just like, eh.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. I noticed that. I was going to ask how, you know, did they get along right off the bat?
Yeah, actually, when we first met Luna, it was basically we met on a main street of a town where we live close by, and she was super like aggressive and just barking. And I'm like, oh, this is not going to work. And my wife was like, well, we have to take her. They're moving. And so, yeah, it didn't take long. They finally just kind of figured it out. You know, I think she's happy where she lives now. So it's been 5 years, I think.
Okay. So. And you mentioned Lucy. Did you have Lucy and a dog named Jet together?
Yeah, actually we did. We had Lucy and Jet together. Again, Lucy was from a breeder and we rescued Jet. We try and do one of each. And it's so funny because the rescue dogs are always the ones that, like, if I'm playing like Frisbee or whatever, ball, they always bring it back. But the labs are like, nah, we're cool. It's just so funny. Like they aim to please.
Yeah, that's interesting. So just the two dog dynamic, is that something, I mean, you mentioned Luna as a rescue was, you know, somebody was in a situation where they had to get rid of her. So were you guys, was that more of a spur of the moment thing? Like, let's help out. Here's an opportunity to help out. Or are you kind of a two dog family? Let's always have our dogs having a companion. So it's not always on us to entertain him.
Right. Well, I'm a simpler man. So I'm like, you know, I'm cool with one dog. And my wife's always like, they need a buddy. And I'm like, oh, all right. So I think it was more of that dynamic, just appeasing the wife and which is fine. I, you know, I love them both. And you know, having two is cool. But when she starts asking, like, can we get another dog? I'm like, eh, three dogs. I mean,
yeah, for
going
sure.
On trips, it's already like they're already stuffed in the back. And we're going to put the third dog, you know? So, yeah.
And what's your history with dogs? Did you grow up with dogs as a kid?
Yeah, I did. Actually, when I was super young, I guess my parents got a beagle, which was super jumpy. And like, I would always come in crying and and I was probably 3 or 4, maybe. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, progressively, as I got older, we always had animals, cats, dogs. Now we have chickens, dogs and chickens. So, yeah, we're kind of a multi-animal family.
Do the dogs and the chickens, do the dogs ignore the chickens? Are they fascinated by them? Are they?
They're fascinated. They're down there. You know, I built a whole coop and a fence and so they can't get in there. But I think Luna would probably do some attacking. Maybe, I don't know. She has displayed some of that behavior behind the fence. Like, you know, she's always like in her herding mode when she gets low and, you know, so. I think they would probably do some damage, but I don't think we should test that out.
Yeah, I agree. And your wife seems to be the proponent of maybe filling the dogs with houses. Does she have a history with dogs? Did she grow up with dogs also?
Actually, no, she didn't. I don't think she, well, she, when she was young, her mom moved her and her siblings to France, and they actually lived in some chateau somewhere in the countryside, and they had crazy animals like a cheetah, and they had like a small farm.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, she, I think it was just the guy that she was dating at the time, whatever. So she kind of grew up with some wild animals, but she never really had a lot of pets until she got older. Then she had a dog, a chow mix, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, but then when she went to college and stuff and was working tons of jobs, she just didn't have the space or the time.
Yeah.
She did have a cat, but yeah, when we got together and bought a house, we were just like, let's get a dog. So, you know, dogs are my favorite.
Yeah. And backing up, I guess we'll get into Jet and Lucy, but were Jet and Lucy kind of your first family dogs?
Yeah.
Or does it go?
Yeah, Lucy was our first dog. And then we rescued Jet. Yeah. Yeah. That was cool. That was our first house, first dog. So yeah, it was an experience.
Yeah. The practice before the child.
Yeah.
So I'm under the impression that Jasper was a bit of a challenge as a puppy. It seemed like just by the comments, it seemed like he might have been nippy a bit and mouthy.
He was nippy.
What were the other challenges? Or tell me a little bit about raising Jasper.
Basically, that was the extent of it, really. I mean, he was just so like just nipping on feet, shoes, hands. Man, he was worse in that aspect than our first lab, Lucy. He was super playful, of course, but he just didn't know what to do with all of his pent up angst, I guess you call it. And so, yeah, I would have shoes that would have like little teeth marks in it. You know, it's just like, man, I mean, those dogs, they have like so many toys. It's ridiculous. So they don't, you know, he's older now. He's not like that. He's a little lazier and very food motivated, as I've heard that most labs are, you know, yeah. So.
Earning the name Meatball, the nickname Meatball.
Yeah, my wife Devin called him that one time. I was like, oh, that's good. Yeah, just the Meatball.
He was also described as stubborn. So which, and how so?
Well, you know, if you're trying to call him, like we'll go out in the backyard and we have a pretty decent sized spread out there. And again, Luna, the rescue, she's always like attentive and like she'll come in and like, let's go, Jasper. And he'll just stand there and just stare at you. And you're like, come on, man. And he's just like, and then when you say treat or any kind of, you know,
right,
anything like that, he's like, oh, okay, I better run up there, because, you know, Luna's going to get all the treats if he doesn't make it. And it's just, it's comical.
Yeah. I was going to say, I think that dog, that breed is a born comedian. And even some of the pictures on your feed are just hysterical. Just his expression are crazy.
I love it. Yeah, he's super cool, man. I mean, you know, when you're walking as well, it's like he's like a people dog. He's always like pulling you over to where somebody is. And like, you don't have to say hi to everybody, and not everybody wants to say hi to you. But he's very friendly and open, and just wants like the attention.
Yeah, he also earned the hashtag Big Baby at one point.
And yeah.
Specifically, that was, you said he was interested in birds right now, but would probably poop himself if one flew over.
Yeah, he's been known to like, he gets scared of like certain sounds, if somebody drops something or whatever, he's just like, what? And then outside, with birds, he would just be like, I think I want to play with that bird. And then, no, man, if it flies anywhere near him, he just gets like, he's very reactive, and right. it's comical. Like, again, yeah, like you said, he is just the biggest baby. And one thing that he does, we actually had to stop taking them to the water because we were taking them to lakes. And we learned this one time, we were actually out swimming, and, you know, we have like his full life vest and stuff for him. And he would come out, follow us, and then try and grab you. All the same time that he's like crying, like thinking we're in trouble. And he's trying to grab your suit or something to bring you in. And it was just, it became chaotic, you know, and Luna's over there trying to bite every wake that's coming in. So we're just like, what is going on here? We have some lunatic dogs. So we've had to kind of take a break from the water, but I'd like to reintroduce him because we live up in the hills in Northern California, and it's the area is just that it's so dog friendly, and you know, I always see people out with their dogs. I'm like, ah. I mean, we could take him on trails and stuff, but yeah, the water was kind of a weird thing for him.
Yeah.
He just makes this like crazy like yelping noise, and you're like, what where'd that come from? So
I was just gonna say, it seems like they're very water oriented dogs. I mean, I know the lab, and I'm not even sure about the border collie.
Yeah, she's iffy. She's like, not sure.
Yeah. Speaking of Luna, you described her as smart, alert, and hyper-focused.
Yeah.
Explain a little bit of that. Like, how does that show in her behavior?
Yeah, I mean, she's actually, you ask her to go grab a certain toy, and she'll pick that toy out and bring it to you. And like I said, there's like 75 toys, it seems like we have, and it's just, you know, go grab your alien or go grab your whatever. And she just grabs it. And so, yeah, that's the smartness.
Is that something you guys taught her? I mean, I know that's, I've heard of that exercise before where they can identify things.
Yeah. I think we just, you know, you just keep repetition, you know, for certain toys. That's not every toy, but you know, she has her favorites.
Yeah.
And that's really fun to see. And then just super alert. Like I said, when we're on walks, she's always like scanning and kind of making me focus too, because, you know, like I said, we live up in the hills, and there's known to be some bears around and mountain lions, and you never know what's going to pop out and jump down from a tree or so. So I'm like constantly on alert with her as Jasper's walking around just with his tongue hanging out, like, what's up? Yeah, so it's really interesting to see, man. Just like I said, with the rescues, it seems like I said, they'll bring the toy back every single time.
Right.
You call them, she's there. Jasper's a little slower, so.
That's great. That's a great trait. Now, do you guys have to worry about any wildfires?
Yeah, we are pretty much in the zone. I mean, especially the Caldor fire a couple years ago, that just went from really close to our area and made its way east to Tahoe and just, you know, burned, I forget how many hundreds of thousands of acres. And it was, you know, along with the air quality alert every night, it was just, you know, you're wondering if you're going to get evacuated. And so it's a pretty big thing up there. We're in like the Sierra Nevadas. It's a bit scary. They're actually starting to not provide fire insurance for people now, 'cause they're just like, it's going to happen. So it's like, oh man, I mean, we're locked in, but you know, it's kind of scary.
Yeah. You had a post, you must be referencing, I think maybe 2017, the big fire that came through, you had a post that, you were one that wild animals will be fleeing. So to bring in bring in your pets and to leave water out for the wild animals, which I thought was gracious. And my question to you was, did you experience any of that? Did you experience seeing any, you know, was there more animals than usual in that week or 2 weeks?
Well, we always have deer. Deer are always around. And somehow for a while, we started getting deer in our yard, which they're hopping the fence, which is 6 to 8 feet high. Mm-hmm. So
nothing for them.
Yeah. So we learned quick when we moved up from LA. It was just like, oh man, this is kind of crazy. We're going to have to watch, you know, the pets for one. And we actually bought a range camera. You know, every once in a while, my wife will send me footage, and it's just, we have foxes, we have raccoons, we have skunks, and they're just cruising through our yard at night. It's usually from 11 on. And yeah, it's pretty funny to watch. They're just kind of moseying around, and then they're out. It's just weird. But our neighbor at one point had a bear come, and thing was pretty sizable, and they had a metal gate that enclosed their property. Right. And the footage is insane. The bear just basically ran up to the gate and realized it was locked or whatever. And it stood back and just shoved the gate open.
Gosh.
And cruised through their property slowly. And it was just like, oh man, if that can do that to metal, I mean, we're just, you know, we have wood gates. So yeah, it's crazy. So yeah, we get some activity up there, but we haven't really had anything too bad. Yeah.
You know, are the dogs reactive to any of that? Will they bark if there's something in the backyard?
Yeah.
And do the dogs provide, you know, you're often on tour, you're on tour right now. You know, do they provide security for you knowing your wife and son are home alone? I mean, will the dogs, do they react to the doorbell ringing
or,
you know, whatever you have?
it doesn't even have to get to the doorbell. It's you know, the same mail carrier. It's like, man, that's our guy, you know, like he comes every single day. And but they're definitely reactive. But once you get in the house, they're, if we have opened the door and we let you in, then yeah. I think they turn to like, okay, cool, this person's okay. But I don't know if that would be the case for somebody breaking in. I don't know. I
right.
mean, but definitely alert.
Is it both dogs that react, or does the one dog kind of react because the other dog reacts?
That's the case a lot. Also, we have tons of dogs in the neighborhood, and if they hear one dog down the street barking, they know somebody is walking, or right. so they got to get in on it. And it's like my wife will just say hi, and then Luna, she's very vocal, so she'll start like making these crazy noises, and it's pretty funny. Yeah.
Yeah, you mentioned that she does that when she, how excited she is to go on a walk.
Yeah. Yeah, I love it. It's like, it's almost like you can imagine like being able to speak to your dog and having right. them talk back.
Right.
I love that moment in the morning where it's just like, you want to go for a walk? And she's just like, yeah, very vocal and super excited. And she does this little, she does a little dance. She sits back and does this like little dance, like she's excited. And I love that because I know how excited she gets.
Yeah. Do you get a hero's welcome when you come home from tour?
Oh man, it's crazy. My wife's always like, wait, just let me go in and then you sneak in. And I'm like, babe, they already know like we're here. And you know, so yeah, it's Luna especially, she starts making like such an excited noise, you know, like, you know, and yeah, it's cool. I kind of have to greet them first and then, and then my son.
Right.
So let me get this out of the way, buddy. It's awesome.
I also noticed you have some mementos. You have a painting of Luna. I think it was Luna and Jasper by Mark yeah. DeSalvo.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that something you commissioned or was that a gift, you know, a surprise gift or?
Yeah, I both. I commissioned that for my wife for Mother's Day. We also have bees. I forgot to mention we have bees.
Okay.
So I had Mark paint Jasper and Luna, and then I'm like, throw some bees. And then I took some pictures of some flowers that were growing in our yard. So he kind of incorporated all that stuff in there. So it made it a little more personal. We also have Jet and Lucy, my good friend Pat painted, and they have Devo hats on.
Right, right, right. That was kind of like a tattoo art type of style, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So very cool. Yeah. I mean, I have some talented friends.
Yeah. Is there any, you know, often when I come across, you know, I scan through Instagram and just go down these foxholes. And whenever I see, you know, an artist with a dog, I'm like, all right, we got to get him on the show.
Yeah.
And oftentimes I won't go back through the band and look through, but I'm curious, anybody else in Papa Roach a dog guy?
Oh, yeah. Actually, we all have dogs.
Really?
Our singer Jacoby has two. They're like XL Bully. They're huge. They're giant. And, Jerry has, our guitar player has one. I think she's kind of a mix. And then Tobin, our bass player, always gets, he's like a German Shepherd. Him and his wife are German Shepherd fans. So
that's great.
I think she likes the security, you know,
when
he's gone. And yeah, actually we were, quick story. We were super mad at Jerry's dog 1 year because right before we went on tour, he was walking her and he went to grab her collar because she was seemed like she was going to dart away. And so he grabbed her collar, but he only got like his two fingers and
right.
she went the other way and broke both of his fingers, like crazy spiral fracture. Like he's got pins in his fingers now and he's obviously needing those fingers. So he couldn't he couldn't come out to perform with us on a European tour. And that was just like, we were so, I'm like, what are you going to do? Get rid of the dog? Like what? We were so angry at the dog. And she's a really sweet dog now though. We just saw her actually last week. And, yeah, that was like frustrating, man. Like you're could have been a career ender. Really?
That's crazy. That's crazy to hear. And I did stumble across that. Funny enough, I did, he was tagged on one of your posts.
Okay, yeah.
It had like a, and I've seen his dog, but the post had like, it looked like a pity of some sort, but I did,
yeah, she's like such a mix.
Okay. I did visit his feed and I saw the x-rays.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Saw somebody did comment that alluded to the dog, but none of his posts spelled out the story. So it's very interesting to hear that.
Yeah,
I was. The dog did cause
scary,
that.
Man. It literally happened like I think a week before we left.
Yeah, that's, oh my gosh.
So yeah,
can't
he
imagine.
Was went under for surgery and just sitting there with his hand bandaged, and we were just like, oh my god, is he going to be able to play guitar anymore? Like, I can't
Who
imagine.
Who stepped in? Who on so, such short notice?
Yeah, we have actually Tobin, our bass player's brother, Anthony.
Okay.
He's playing, he's the kind of our fifth guy on stage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he does keyboards, backup vocals, guitar, percussion. He's like the all-around guy. And he's known the guitar parts. Like, he grew up, you know, obviously listening to the band. And when he was younger, he was playing guitar to the records. And so he was the obvious choice. Like, hey, man, you're going to just step up now. So he had to relearn, like, guitar parts that he wasn't playing,
yeah,
but Jerry was playing. So, yeah, he pulled it off, man. He's such a talented kid. It was cool. And it was just easier for us. Like, we didn't have to try people out or hire somebody that was, we didn't know how they toured with you. And, you know,
right.
That's a big thing. So
now, have you done that as a drummer? Have you had to step in quickly for somebody? I feel like either 6 a.m. or maybe Good Charlotte at one point.
Yeah, I did Good Charlotte. 6 a.m. I stepped in, but did like a bunch of touring. And then an older band I was in, Good Riddance, the drummer quit and they were going on like a couple month tour. This is way back in like 1995.
Mm-hmm.
So stepped in. Yeah. The Good Charlotte thing was pretty funny. My friend Dean, who's an amazing drummer, he called and said, hey, I need somebody to fill in. And I was just thinking about you. And, you know, I was like, yeah, I love a challenge. I love, you know, drumming. It's just like,
right.
you know, I'm such a huge music fan. And I had never really got into Good Charlotte back in the day, but I started learning the songs and he kept throwing me more songs. And I'm like, how many songs are we playing? He sent me like 16 songs. I was like, oh. So I just woodshedded for weeks. And I said, all right, great. So, you know, when's rehearsal? And he goes, well, the thing is the guys don't like to rehearse. And I'm like, what? And the first show was like this big radio festival.
Oh my God.
And I was like, oh man. Okay, cool. Time to like tighten it up and be pro, you know? So that was a crazy experience.
I was going to say, you said you like the challenge. That's exactly the attitude you need. Cause I think I'm breaking out in a sweat just thinking about it.
Oh my God. It was, yeah. We kind of went through the songs like right before the set that night with the guitar player and the bass player. That was it. It was just like, all right, here we go. So, you know, you get so focused, and for a good musician, you have to get to the point where you're not thinking about things.
Yeah.
And it's just second nature. And that way, when you jump on stage, cause anything can happen. And a lot of times your mind gets diverted from the actual situation. Yeah, there's been some frightening moments on stage where you just freak out. Like, what part is this? I forget if this is the second chorus or the first chorus. And so that's happened, but that doesn't happen too much anymore. You know, you just sort of, like I said, it's best to get your stuff down so you're just not second guessing.
Yeah. Well, in my limited experience in my younger days, I found that I played the drums also, as long as the musicians in front of you don't turn and look, then no one knows. just keep going, keep acting natural. But it's always that turn. It's always a simultaneous tune when you've got you know, two members of your band looking back at you and like, all right, now everybody knows.
Been there. but then also people say, you know, if you do something that wasn't maybe right, do it again. Make it seem right. You know, I try not to do that because half the time it's like, I don't even know what just happened. Like my body just had a jerk reaction. And
all right. Well, I'll steer us back to the dog talk. And it's funny, I've been wanting to bring a little bit more music into the conversation. So this was a good break to do that. And one last question I want to ask before I get into what I call the zoomies is I noticed there was a post where in 2019, it was a post-show party with puppies.
Oh, yeah.
Via Furry Friends Rock and Rescue. So is that part of something they put together that they were going to bring puppies to you guys just to hang out, just get the puppies socialized? Or what was the context of that?
Yeah, it's just something. It happens occasionally, you know, if somebody will set it up and like, hey, they're going to bring some animals backstage after. And we've had monkeys. We've had lemurs.
Oh, my gosh.
The other day, we had a couple goats. And a chicken, and what else did they bring? Anything else? No, there's a couple goats and so it's just, you know, it's I've always wanted like a tour dog. I think sometimes we'll get some dog time in on the road, but it's never enough, man. I always say how cool it would be to have a tour dog, but also probably a lot of work and
well, have a tour dog and a tour dog handler.
Yes. Yes. A tour nanny, tour dog nanny. Yeah. I think it would be fun though.
All right. Well, like I said, I call the last five questions the zoomies because they're quick questions that we don't have to, you know, spend too much time on. First question is, do you kiss Luna and Jasper on the mouth?
Nope. I kiss them on the head.
Okay.
I kiss them on the head. Yeah.
I'm always curious when those words leave my lips, what the reaction's going to be.
Yeah. No making out with dog tongue.
Okay. It's pretty cut and dry.
Yeah.
Does either of your dogs have a theme song?
Not necessarily, but I do know that when my wife will turn on some music and she'll start dancing in the living room, that Jasper will come up and like jump up and they'll dance together. So that's pretty awesome.
Okay. Any particular song?
No, anything.
Okay.
Maybe some Lizzo.
Okay. Question three, you mentioned, you know, how much it would be great to have a tour dog. If Jasper and Luna were your tour dogs, what would you include in the rider for them?
Probably some toys, obviously. I mean, they'd probably bring some toys. You know, we'd bring some of their favorite ones. But that, maybe, like you were saying, maybe a tour walker if I had to go do something.
Right.
And they were just sitting around for too long. It's like, yeah, can you go take them on a walk? You know, I don't know. Something like that.
All right. That'll work. That'll work. And it's all, you know, hypothetical. So we don't have to worry about it.
Yeah.
Question four is, do you have a dog voice? Do you speak to them in a certain tone?
Not really. It doesn't get too crazy like that. I'll just like Jasper, like going back to like the big baby thing. I'll just, right. I don't get like too crazy with like, oh my God, my poochie and all that stuff. But
and you don't give them a dog voice. You don't personify them with a voice at all.
No.
I can only imagine what Jasper's voice would be.
Oh man, I wish they could talk. It would be funny.
Okay, and question five, is there a dog organization or a service that you'd like to give a shout out to? And that could be any of a rescue or a walker or a groomer, anything you want.
Yeah, I mean, not a particular rescue. I think they're all doing, you know, their service, which is awesome. But we do, I want to shout out to Katie and Amanda at Mountain Groomers. They do such an amazing job with the dogs. They actually love going there. It's like I bring them in and they're always like, get us back, take us to the back, you know? And they're up in Pollock Pines, California. And yeah, Amanda and Katie, Mountain Groomers, they're amazing. We love them. Dogs, they come back smelling so good for like weeks. And I can't do the same thing. I try and shower them, clean them as good as I can. And it lasts for like a few days. I'm like, how do you guys do that?
I know where you're coming from. I have the same experience with my dog. And I think it must be an oil. It must be an oil-based, probably. Either shampoo or whatever it is. But it's like, you know, how I can't,
it's next
I can't
level.
Get it to... I can't get it to smell good for 2 days.
Yeah.
Well, Tony, thank you for giving me your time. It's always a pleasure of mine to, you know, meet you guys over Zoom and talk about your dog. So thank you.
Yeah. Thanks, Tim. Anytime, man. I mean, we love dogs.
Good. Good. Keep preaching the gospel for us.
Yeah. Oh, you'll keep seeing pictures too.
Good. Good. We look forward to it. All right, best luck on the tour. Unfortunately, by the time people hear this, I think you guys will be just coming off the tour, but good luck with everything. And
yeah, thank you.
Hope to see you down the road.
Awesome, man. Yeah, take care.